Our challenges, locally, nationally, and globally. Climate change. Climate change has rapidly become a significant issue, but the world's response has been slow. In Napier, we have had first-hand experience of it with the recent rainfall event and subsequent flooding. In the next 10 years and beyond, we know that climate change threats are on the rise, with more frequent and intense rainfall events, rising sea levels, and hotter temperatures. Our plan looks at how climate change will impact our services and what our role is to both reduce greenhouse gases, a leading cause of climate change, and to adapt to its effects. Are our pumps up to it? We're factoring in increased rainfall into the upgrades of not only our stormwater pumps, but also our pipes and our buildings and facilities. Are we green enough? We're switching to electric vehicles, recycling more, and any new buildings and facilities will be designed with sustainability in mind. In the city, we've switched to LEDs for our streetlights. We have a plan to reduce waste. We're promoting active transport by building more pathways, with more to come. We're looking at what to plant where to reduce water demand, and actively looking at coastal erosion. Is our community ready? Working with communities to build resilience and planning ahead is important if we are to adapt to climate change impacts. We play a major part in responding to and recovering from civil defense emergencies. Our district plan helps guide how land can be used, and it is currently being reviewed. Climate change is a factor that we're considering within the review. What's the cost? Responding to climate change does come at a cost. Sometimes it's just a matter of taking a more sustainable option when buying, but sometimes it requires us to add extra services or assets to manage the impacts of climate change, such as dealing with coastal erosion or increasing the capacity of our stormwater network to cope with flooding. Further work is needed to quantify the costs, but we have an infrastructure strategy that identifies some of the costs. COVID-19. The tourism industry plays a major part in our economy and continues to be heavily impacted by COVID-19 restrictions. We operate a number of tourism-based facilities, and our income from these facilities took a hit last year, but we have almost returned to pre-COVID levels. We anticipate no income from our shareholding in the Hawke's Bay Airport until 2025. Last year, we met the challenges head-on and developed our recovery plan, including allocating $1.5 million to help our community bounce back. The effects continue to be felt in our city and our region, with high levels of uncertainty remaining. We have not allocated any further funding in our plan at this time, but anticipate any significant future financial impacts will need to be funded by loans. Three Waters Reform. Along with a number of other councils, we are working with the government on the reform program for water services. Because the shape of the reform will not be known until later in the year, we are continuing with our plans to improve our water services. You can read more on this under our water section and our financial section. Deferred renewals. We have not kept up with replacing and upgrading all of our assets. Some are well past the end of their useful life and are getting beyond repair. At the same time, the money we've put away each year to save for replacing and renewing our assets has been too low. In the meantime, costs have increased, and so have standards. We can't afford to do everything at once, so we are prioritizing essential replacements and upgrades, concentrating on what is well utilized and what we can afford. We have a plan to make sure we set more money aside for depreciation over the next 10 years. We're ensuring we'll be ahead of the game when it comes to renewals, not waiting for things to be well past their use-by date before attending to them. community housing. We provide 377 subsidized housing units across Napier. The subsidized rent we receive from tenants is used to pay the costs of providing this housing. Unfortunately, the rent we receive no longer covers the costs. From next year, the costs are projected to exceed the income we receive from rent by an average of around $2.5 million per annum. That's $24.5 million over the next 10 years. We are reviewing the options for the future of our housing and will be consulting on these before making a decision in the next 12 months. In the meantime, we need to fund the shortfall. We could do this through a rates increase or through a loan. We are consulting on these options, as you can see in the housing section. But either of these options mean we need to change our revenue and financing policy. You can have your say on this change. Go to sayitnapier.nz/LTP. How will the proposed average rates increase of 8% affect your rates in 2021-2022? Use our rates calculator at sayitnapier.nz/LTP or phone 06-835-7579 to talk to our customer services team who will be able to help. What's pushing our rates up? There are a number of things that are driving our rates increases over the next 10 years. Some of them are out of our control, like increased insurance costs and government charges. For example, waste levies and water compliance. Others are costs that we knew were coming, catch-up costs, like the extra cost of our rubbish and recycling services. We've been topping up the money we get from rates and other income with money from our reserves, savings account, to cushion some of these extra costs. These reserves are now low. We need to fund our ongoing services and projects from all our income sources, including rates and loans. We will continue to receive income from the development of parklands and are anticipating extra income from Kennedy Park Holiday Resort. This income means we can keep rates lower. We're proposing a rates increase of 8% for next year, with further rises each year over our 10-year plan. This 8% rise is on average $3.78 per week, or $196.37 per year per rateable property. We review our rates cap limit when we review our plan. We have increased our rates cap for the next 10 years to allow for the proposed increase. We're increasing our borrowing, but we are staying within our debt limit of 230% of our income. We have reduced our costs after making changes to gain efficiencies. For more details, see Financial Strategies section. Our 8% increase is made up of 2.7% catch-up costs, for example, waste services, 2.5% general cost increases, 2.3% externally driven costs, for example, increased insurance and government charges, and 0.5% new projects, for example, Faraday Center. Balanced Budget Benchmark. There's a graph here. And what does this graph show? The planned rates increases needed to cover the costs over the next 10 years in comparison to the limits we've set on rates increases. One axis of the graph shows the percentage rise in rates from 0 up to 12%. On the other axis shows the proposed rates increase over the years from 2021 to 2031. So, firstly, the proposed rates increase for the year 2021 to 2022 is 8%. Next, 2022 to 2023 is 7%. then 2023 to 2024 is also 7%, and that's the same for 2024-2025, 7%. Then 2025 to 2026, the proposed rates increase is 9%, and that is the same for 2026-27, 2027-28, 28-29, and 29-30, all at 9%. And then finally, 2030-2031 is 8%. Now, there's also shown on the graph the rates cap limit. And for 2021-22, it's 8%. For 2022-23, it is 10%. And then it drops back down to 9% for the remaining years. How will our rates be spent? Here's an estimate for the next 10 years. Community services, 29%. That includes pools, libraries, grants, community halls, community development. And 4% of that is visitor experiences. For example, Municipal Theatre, National Aquarium of New Zealand. Three Waters, 27%. 9% of that is water supply, 7% is stormwater, 11% is wastewater. Transportation, 13%. That includes roads and footpaths. Other infrastructure, 14%. That is cemeteries and public toilets. And 6% of that is democracy and governance. And finally, city strategy, 7%. For example, consents, planning, and parking. Why do we need to borrow? A portion of our rates has been put aside to use for things we need to replace in the future. This savings money alone is not enough to fund the replacements that are now due, and costs of replacements have also gone up. The gap we face can either be funded by rates or through loans. Funding the costs through rates would push the increase way beyond 8%. So what we're proposing to do is to fund the gap for the first 5 years through loans. Then for the second 5 years, we will continue to borrow, but we will also start to set aside money again from rates for our reserves. Last year, we joined the local government funding agency, LGFA, a collective of councils that pool together to get good lending deals. Currently, interest rates on loans are very low. Being part of the LGFA means we continue to get low interest rates even if there are increases in the open market. It's good practice to fund some things through loans so that the cost is spread across the generations of those who will benefit. Some things we build last for decades, so it's only fair that people who will be using them in 30 years' time help pay for them, intergenerational equity.